Is there any way to really describe the power and influence of music? Music can set a mood, inspire action, create or enhance emotion. It can tell the story of a moment or of a movement. Music can define a time in your life, recall a time in history, and provide a touchstone to the past. Music can also contribute to a sense of identity among a people or a place. Welcome to OMG DSM. I'm K.O. Myers. On this episode, we'll talk about Des Moines and its relationship to music, how it's made, how it's shared, and how we're encouraging creative expression in the next generation. Christopher Ford is a co-founder of Maximum Aims Records and a program manager with the Des Moines Music Coalition. He writes, records, and plays as Christopher the Conquered. This is his song, The Greatest Record Ever in the History of Pop Music.
The greatest record ever in the history of pop music was never mixed or mastered, because the producer died and the engineers all walked out into their microphones and preamps with hum. The studio boarded up the control room and removed all the sound treatments, and ever in the history of pop music. Oh, and all that was left was the artist. And tell me, what can you do with an artist? And try to forget him, but you'll never ever make the greatest record ever. Never, no, 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 no.
I recently sat down with Christopher at a local coffee shop to get his perspective on the musical ecosystem in Des Moines. I started by asking him about the work of the Des Moines Music Coalition.
The vision is to see Des Moines established as a nationally recognized city of music. That's an ongoing project. And so when it comes to the mission, it's basically to make Des Moines a better place by supporting this music scene.
And what do you do as program manager?
A lot of things. I answer all the emails. But primarily, basically, I'm responsible for all programs aside from 8035. 8035 is a program of the Des Moines Music Coalition, but as it's a really large program, we have a separate program manager just for that. And then I work on everything else. So we have Gross Domestic Product and Little Big Fest are two smaller music festivals. And then Music University is an annual conference that we started last year after I started working with the Music Coalition. And then there's a lot of other new programs that are being developed and worked on, and then of course you have fundraising and website stuff, and coordinating volunteers is a big part of it.
What attracted you to working at the Coalition?
Well, I sort of have a goal of doing what I love for a living, and so everything that's related to music brings me closer to that and provides more opportunities. I've been making music for a long time, and I was working another job, and when this job was created and I saw the opportunity, I just put in an application and thought I'd give it a shot.
How long have you been playing as Christopher the Conquered?
Since 2006. Wow. Yeah.
So how would you describe the overall the music scene in Des Moines?
You could live in Des Moines without knowing about music scene at all, or you could live in Des Moines and have it be your entire life. There is a lot going on and there's plenty of opportunities, but it's still relatively underground subculture part of the city. There's a lot of collaboration. People play with a lot of different groups, generally support each other. It's diverse to a degree, but there's definitely room for growth in terms of interesting art being made in a number of genres. But all that being said, you know, having been here for however many years, it's improving every year in terms of opportunities to perform and to make money as an artist specifically.
What do you think sets Des Moines apart from other cities in terms of music?
I think the fact, and I feel like I can speak to this because I tour around regularly around the United States, and so I get to play with a lot of different artists and talk to them about their music scenes and get to be a part of them. Des Moines is sort of in a unique space, and I think it's sort of the same thing that makes Des Moines unique in a lot of ways is that, you know, it's an up-and-coming city. It's a city that's being developed in the 21st century, and it's not a great city of America yet, you know, like New York or Chicago or something, but it's being developed in a new time, and it's in the Midwest, and so there's a certain characteristics of people here that makes it easy to be in a city like this right now. It's very accessible, so specifically when it comes to the music scene, if you want to work hard and promote yourself, there are doors that you can open for yourself. You can be playing the biggest kind of shows in town relatively easily if you're, you know, willing to sort of, you know, put yourself out there, I guess.
So you'd say it's relatively easy for a new band or artist to break out or to break into the community?
Well, it is if somebody tells them what to do or if they know what to do. Yeah, I mean, some people keep, you know, hit walls for years on end. Okay. I think that's just because, you know, they're not informed, I guess, or educated about what they could be doing.
So what suggestions would you have for a new artist or band that wants to get more involved in the scene?
The overwhelming attitude of the most successful artists here is that they don't expect anything. You know, they just don't feel like anybody owes them any favors. They want to play shows and they love making music and they commit themselves to it and they're good, and people that are going to give them opportunities respond to that. You know, working hard, being positive, and then just actually promoting yourself in terms of, like, recording a decent quality album, putting out a music video, using social media strategically, like, that kind of stuff goes a long way here. And then probably the biggest thing, this is definitely a Des Moines thing, is, like, people in Des Moines will respond and opportunities here will happen if they see that people outside of Des Moines are into what you're doing. If you have pictures on your Facebook of a show you played for 100 people in Iowa City, or you get a blog out of Chicago to give your album a positive review, then people here are kind of like, oh, this band, we should be paying attention to this or whatever. That's a definite phenomenon. Yeah, it's a culture of pride thing. It's like when somebody has success, that brings recognition to somebody from here, even if it's just a tiny bit, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that's awesome. That's like, that person's from here. You know, that's, yeah. And that goes across the board, I think, for all sorts of, whether it's restaurants from Des Moines or any sort of artist.
Is there any sort of, we knew about it before it was national kind of vibe, or is it more just hometown pride, I guess?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's about we knew about it before. It's just more of like, yeah, that's, those are our people, they're from here, you know, so kind of like always grasping for something to take ownership of. I think because, you know, we're still in a place where not a lot of, you know, world-class art or what's recognized as world-class art is coming out of Des Moines. There are great things being created here, but getting recognition beyond our state is, you know, something that is rare.
Okay. There's been a lot of attention on the city lately in terms of the being on all these top 10 lists, and there's been a lot of talk about the development and the future of the city. Have you seen any effect on the culture of the music scene here about from that attention? Or is it too soon for that to have had an effect yet?
I don't think the culture within the actual music scene, like on the ground with artists, is necessarily different. But I do see there's kind of more opportunities for local artists from the bigger, you know, city or nonprofit or bigger money organizations. You know, say like an example, and would be the Temple for Performing Arts, the Des Moines Performing Arts has a civic center. They do the Temple. They do like Lunch Unplugged. Like this last year, they did all local artists for their Lunch Unplugged series, which was totally, as far as I know, they've never done before. And that's like that's a great opportunity. It promotes those artists to a whole different type of crowd. They pay the artists decently. I feel like there's some kind of, and there's a lot of things like that, you know, whether it's a community foundation or having a luncheon where they're paying a local artist to come provide the music rather than putting on an iPod or whatever. What the connection is that the sort of pride in the city from that, from those other types of recognition has led to a desire for more people to connect with and promote and support like local culture of any sort, things that identify us as distinctly Des Moines.
For those of us who are, whose dreams of musicianhood are far in the past, who are just that, just fans, what opportunities are there for people like us to get involved and to support musicians and support the music scene in town?
I wouldn't count yourself out, first of all, because there's like a lot of great artists. You know, I would say a majority of the local artists are technically, you know, whether they would say it or not, in the hobbyist category. You know, they practice regularly, they play shows, but they don't necessarily invest a huge amount of money into an album or a PR campaign or touring or things like that. And so, you know, anybody can start a band, I guess. And it's fun. It's just a fun way to be a part of community, be a part of the community and meet new people. But then beyond that, it's the next thing is then to go to shows or to buy music from local artists. There's sort of a movement of support local music, and the artists need to be creating quality and enough art to justify that movement, not just supporting local music for the sake of being local music, but because it's local and it's good and it fulfills something. I think that that's increasing, and there's more and more great music and art being made that can actually fulfill people while they're also, quote-unquote, shopping local. those are the two main things, I guess, is create or support a creator when it comes down to it. In terms of opportunities, there's shows every night. I think there could be more all-ages shows. I would like to see more of that. Opportunities for families to engage with live music, or just teenagers and people that are under 21 years old. I think that's an important thing that we need to boost in our community. But yeah, look up shows, go to Music Coalition festivals, go to anybody's festivals.
What kind of opportunities are there to volunteer with the Coalition?
There's a couple different levels of it. First of all, anytime we have an event, there's day of volunteer opportunities. So, you know, something like 8035 requires hundreds of volunteers. And basically, you can go to the website, 80-35.com or DesMoinesMC.com, and go to support and volunteer opportunities. And there'll be a link to sign up for a shift, and then you get to go. You go work for 4 hours, and you get a T-shirt, and you get to go to the rest of the day for free. You know, and pretty much any of our events, if you volunteer, you get to enjoy the rest of it outside of your volunteer shift for free as a nice thank you. And then in addition to that, you know, a majority of the people that organize everything for the Music Coalition are volunteers for any of our events. You know, it's like somebody, say 8035 is a program manager, there's somebody that's maybe contracted for some marketing, or this or that, you know, two or three people. And then there's dozens of other people that are, you know, volunteering to handle everything from making sure the person that's bringing in the fencing gets put in the right place, and that there's water for bands, and the bands are picked up from the airport, and stuff like that. Planning the nonprofit booths area. I mean, there's all sorts of opportunities. For every event, you know, we put together a whole committee of volunteers. Our board of directors is all volunteers. And so beyond the day of, for people that are interested in engaging in a more professional or creative way, basically what I say is just go to our website and email us and let's meet. That's usually how we get people involved in a behind-the-scenes way. Yeah. I'll meet with anybody. Once, at least.
I'll make sure I put a link to the Coalition on the website. And actually, would you mind if I ask you real quick if there are any new releases coming up from Maximum Range that you're really excited about?
We just put out an album from a Cedar Valley band, Cedar Falls Waterloo band called Twins. And they're a power pop group, kind of in the vein of Midwest power pop, you know, that started with bands like Cheap Trick or whatever. It's just a two-guitar, bass, drum, you know, simple as could be, as you think it could be, but kind of just truly sparkling, beautiful rock and roll music with a little edge. And so we just put that out, and that band's been really active and working hard. They're playing a lot of great festivals. They're playing 8035, actually. And I don't book 8035, and that would have some conflict otherwise, but I don't handle any of the booking for that. But they are playing that. And a number of other great festivals, and they're going on tour in a couple weeks. And then the next thing we're doing is we have two things. This summer, we're going to be releasing an album from a guy out of Fairfield who performs under the name Mr. Nasty with an I. But it's this beautiful, like, life-empowering, electronic, funky dance music, and he's a great vocalist. So that album is coming out. It's called Truth Sound. And then one of my favorite songwriters out of Iowa, his name is Brooks Strauss. He's been around for a really long time. Well, maybe I shouldn't say a really long time, but longer than I have and most of the people in my generation of songwriters have. We are going to be reissuing some of his albums, starting with one called Dead Animals this fall.
You'll find links to the Des Moines Music Coalition, Maximum Ames Records, and Christopher the Conquered at suburbanpanic.com/omgdsm. And here's Babe City, the first single from Twins' new album, Tomboys on Parade.
Somewhere around the curve, there's a quiet little place. Only the dashboard lights got enhanced across the waist. Living night on the dial of AM radio. Mister, would you play our song so I can hold my baby closer? I'm all out of breath and I sweat when I see her.
Catherine Dickel is a founding partner of Midwest Ticks and a member of the board of the Des Moines Waterworks Park Foundation. She's here to talk about a new project looking to put pianos in public spaces around the city. Catherine, welcome to OMGDSM.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Your new project is called City Sounds. Can you tell us what you're trying to do?
Yeah, so City Sounds, the Des Moines Public Piano Project, is really an effort to bring music to the public in a new and special way through public pianos. So we're hoping to put pianos in different high traffic areas, primarily this first year, the pilot year in downtown. And those pianos will be available for anybody to come play and also anybody to come listen to people playing.
Where would the pianos come from?
The pianos are donated by the public. So West Music, who is our partner in the project, is handling all of the donated pianos. So they basically would go and vet the pianos at different donors' homes or whatever. They would make a judgment call there about whether or not the pianos were right for the project. And then if they were, they would transport the pianos out of the donor's home, and they would also transport them to the location after they were tuned and prepared for placement.
Can you give us an example of a place that you'd like to stage a piano?
Sure. I mean, there's been so many different suggestions, but some of the places that we've heard from people have been in the East Village, obviously, Botanical Center, Principal Park, the Riverwalk at the HubSpot, the library, the Chess Park, right there by Starbucks, over on Walnut Street Corridor, all of those. I think those are a lot of the different places that people have mentioned in terms of where they go. Now, eventually, if the pilot project, the pilot year is successful, we'd love to be able to put pianos outside of Des Moines as well. So pianos maybe in, you know, the Ingersoll area or Beaverdale or kind of in the smaller neighborhoods that make up Des Moines going forward.
What was the inspiration for the idea?
The inspiration really came for me from Iowa City's project, which is called Tickle My Keys. Midwest Ticks has a lot of clients over in Iowa City, and so we're over there a couple times a year, and we've seen the pianos there. And the last time I was there, I had the opportunity, I heard the pianos being played outside of the hotel I was staying at, and I looked down, and it was a band that was traveling through Iowa City. They were going to be playing that night at one of their venues, and they'd come out and played this particular piano. They brought a bass, stand-up bass, and a little snare drum, and the lead piano guy was playing the piano, and it was just a really nice concert, an impromptu concert. And I thought I'd seen the pianos before and thought it would be a good idea for Des Moines, but after that particular experience with it, I just kind of felt like, geez, we really need to try to make this happen. So this spring, I just started putting together some information about the project. I did a lot of research with the people in Iowa City who run their project, and I contacted West Music, Ryan West over at West Music, and asked them if they'd be interested in helping us get it off the ground here, because they're a big player in the Iowa City project. So, and Ryan was very big yes on that, so that was really great. So once Ryan and I got on board, we just started kind of putting proposals together and some branding around it, came up with a name, and then about a month or so ago, I was put in contact with Larry James, who is a volunteer for the Des Moines Music Coalition, and he had also been thinking about doing something like this, and so we kind of got connected that way, and the Des Moines Music Coalition is, of course, is a client of ours too, and we've been supporters of theirs since they started. So it was a natural fit for us to start working together on it, and so Larry and I have kind of been spearheading the project since then.
And what sort of response have you gotten from the community?
It's been actually overwhelmingly wonderful and positive. I mean, I knew that the community would embrace it because it's a beautiful thing to bring music to people through pianos and just have it be a part of our environment in this way. But, I mean, we have had so many people interested and excited about it. I'm just really, I'm looking forward to keeping it going and hopefully getting it off the ground this year so that we can build around the project for the community. I think it's going to be really exciting.
What sort of precautions will you have to take to keep the pianos from being damaged?
The pianos will be bolted to the ground. That's the first thing, so that they cannot be moved or tossed over or anything like that. So I think that is kind of really important. And then the other thing is that we'll have custom covers that are made for each one of the pianos. And those covers will be put on the pianos at night and then taken off in the morning during the season that they're out. And then for inclement weather events as well, the cover would be put back on. So we're working right now to line up caretakers for each one of the pianos. And oftentimes those are, you know, businesses that are close to where the pianos are located. So once all of those little dominoes come together and we find the right partners for each location, and the location's really going to be determined by what partners are willing to get involved, those seem to be the right type of things to do for the project to protect the pianos. So, and that's what they do in Iowa City as well, is keep them bolted to the ground and have these custom covers over them. So,
have you had any questions about noise issues?
Certainly, that's something that we're taking into consideration in every one of the places that we're looking at. We haven't had anybody specifically say, you know, I'm worried about the noise. But certainly, if there's a location and there's a partner at that location, we would want to talk to anybody that's around it that might, you know, feel that would be problematic. But in Iowa City, like, for example, the piano that I heard last fall when that band came through was right outside the Hotel Vitro and the library.
Okay.
So it's like it was sandwiched between the Vitro and the library. And, you know, I think that it's a beautiful addition for both of those things as opposed to a detraction. But I was also talking to somebody who came to film us for Channel 8, I believe, the photographer, and he said, I'm so excited about this, I hope one goes outside of my new loft downtown. So there will probably be people that maybe would have a problem with the noise, but it is downtown, so there's plenty of noise already down there.
So if people want to support the project, is there any way they can get involved?
Right now, we've got kind of just a small group of people working to just get it off the ground. So the moment there isn't any volunteer opportunities to get involved right now, if you want to sponsor a piano, we definitely have opportunities for that, and people are more than welcome to just get in contact with me if they've got some interest or they have an organization that they belong to that might be interested. Once we get the project off the ground, we're hoping to start, you know, doing some events and programming around the project and around the pianos, and kind of starting to loop more people in that way. If you want to donate a piano, we are working on getting a website up that will have a form that people will be able to submit their pianos through that. But right now, we're just kind of taking phone calls and whatnot for donated pianos. At the moment, we have identified a good amount of pianos already, so we don't really need any more donations because the pilot project is We're only really shooting for probably 3 pianos this year. So we've got some inventory already identified for that, but in the future, definitely getting those pianos in, we'll have a route for people to do that as well. So spread the word, though, too. That's one thing that everybody can do to help, is just spread the word about the project. Go like our Facebook page and just keep the great positive mojo about it going.
And we'll put a link to the City Sounds Facebook page on our website at suburbanpanic.com/OMGDSM. Catherine Dickel is a founding partner of Midwest Techs and the driving force behind City Sounds, the Des Moines Public Piano Project. That's a lot of P's. Catherine, thank you for being on OMGDSM.
Thanks so much.
A lot of us took music lessons as a kid. I remember grimly scraping my way through Bartok on the violin before my parents finally let me quit. I eventually switched to the drums, partly because I enjoyed whacking things with sticks, but also because it seemed like a way to get closer to music that I actually liked. As a middle schooler, classical music just didn't grab me in the same way that jazz, swing, and rock did. So where does a kid learn how to play rock music in the first place? Does anybody give lessons on how to rock out? If you're a girl, or the parent of a girl in Des Moines, you're in luck. Ray Faring is camp director with Girls Rock Des Moines, an organization whose mission is to create an environment that enables girls to collaborate creatively in an environment of mutual respect and positive self-expression, and to build self-esteem through music creation and performance. Ray Faring, welcome to OMGDSM.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us what Girls Rock Des Moines does?
Girls Rock Des Moines is a two-week summer day camp for girls ages 10 to 16, and really the primary sort of core curriculum is instrument lessons, and the girls can choose either guitar, bass, keys, drums, voice, or DJ. And DJ is kind of a parenthetical because it's only if we have volunteers who can teach that. But they'll take instrument lessons, and then they form a band, and I can tell you more about that later. It's kind of like speed dating, how they form a band, but we allow the girls to form their own band. And then there's band rehearsal every day, and then there's a team building exercise that they'll do every day with their bandmates. And then there's an empowerment curriculum called IROC.
And Girls Rock Des Moines was inspired by programs in other cities, right?
Yeah, so the Girls Rock Camp Alliance is a national organization that's sort of the clearinghouse for Girls Rock camps across the country and actually around the world. The Girls Rock Camp Alliance, you become a member, you apply for membership. Girls Rock Des Moines has not done that. I've had the great privilege and luck to be able to be connected with folks who either have started or run Girls Rock camps from across the country. So I was able to take some of the best of their ideas and create sort of my own version here in Des Moines.
And this is your second summer, right?
This is our second summer, yeah. We've expanded this summer last year. In our first year, we had 1 2-week session. And this year, we're going to do 2 2-week sessions.
And you said instrument lessons. Do campers have to have a basic knowledge of any of the instruments to come?
Nope. The sort of the core premise of Girls Rock is that girls don't need to have any music experience or any ability to pay to be able to come. So we provide instruments through a generous and amazing support of Guitar Center here in West Des Moines, and then also Corporate Guitar Center. Their corporate office also provides a great sponsorship package, so we're able to provide instruments for all the girls who don't necessarily have their own.
The phrase rock music is kind of broad. What types of music do you encourage the girls to explore?
We encourage open exploration, so whatever any of the campers might be interested in, that's what we'll encourage. Last year, one of our bands called The Apocalypse had sort of a spoken word sort of rap song that they wrote together. Another one, Treehouse Riot, which is, I think, a brilliant band name. Treehouse Riot was really poppy and really melodic. I was really impressed with what they did. And then one of our other bands, Def Fondue, actually wrote a song that I honestly believed should have been on the radio. I mean, it was a great pop rock song.
Okay. So, and you mentioned that the girls do form their own bands. Can you tell us how that process works?
Yeah, I do liken it to speed dating. So we take their rhythm section. The girls are assigned an instrument. They pick their first, second, and third choice, and we do our best to give campers their first choice, but if we did that, we would have only had a camp full of guitar players and singers last year. So we sometimes have to go to the second choice. But I take the rhythm section, so all of the bass players and all of the drummers line up across from each other, and they have a conversation just about the kinds of things that they're interested in, the kind of music they like, if they were going to make their own music, what kind of music it would sound like. And they get about 60 seconds with each person, so they just go down the line and switch after about 60 seconds. And then once everybody's had a conversation, we ask the girls to pair up with a girl with whom they had the most in common. So it's really less about sort of that friend grouping or, oh, I like this girl better, but we really encourage them to explore who they had the most in common with. And it actually worked out really well. We didn't have any issues, no overlap or anything. The girls immediately went to the person that they had the most in common with, and that became the rhythm section of the next band. And then we did the same with the vocalists, keyboard players, and guitar players. We had them all line up across from each other, and we did the same thing with them. And then when that group was formed, and the rhythm section was formed, then we had those two primary groups meet and do the same thing across from each other. And ultimately, that's how the bands were formed. We did have, once the rhythm section was together and then the rest of the band was together, when they went to make their pairing last year, we did have one group that had two folks that wanted to join them. But it was really fantastic, even on the very first day, to see the girls problem solve and work together in a really awesome way, because one of the groups said, you know what, we also kind of liked this one too and had a lot in common with this group over here, so they just easily moved over and had a great connection with their band, and it all worked out really well. So I think the speed dating thing is going to stick around. I really like it.
That's a really interesting model. And in addition to learning how to play instruments, you teach them about other aspects of the music industry, right?
Yes. So last year, everything was core curriculum. There was music art, technology and recording, booking and promotion, stage performance. We had a variety of classes, songwriting, had a variety of classes that the girls took, and everybody took everything. I was really interested in ensuring that the program was nimble and responsive, because it was our first year, so we wanted to make sure that we were really giving the girls what was interesting to them and what they wanted. And so in the feedback, which was literally 100% positive, the one constructive piece of feedback I got was from a camper who said, you know, I just am really not interested in writing songs. And I thought, well, that's legitimate. So this year we changed up the model a little bit, and everything is elective except for instrument lessons, band practice, and iRock. Everything else is elective, so it'll be similar to when kids get to middle school and high school and they get to sort of choose electives and have A days and B days. So they'll end up picking three or four electives. This year we've added how to rock an interview. Another one is the jam session, because there were several girls last year who had never played their instruments before but just seemed to, by ear, pick up what they were doing. And I think I'm so envious of people that are able to do that. You mentioned Bartok on the violin. That's also partly how I started. And reading music is definitely a skill, but being able to play by ears as well. So we're offering a jam session. Another one is similar for the girl who didn't really want to write music. She just wanted to play a song. We're offering reading tabs as a class that the girls can take so that they can learn how to play their favorite song right away. Grab a guitar, we'll show you the chords, and it's that easy. You can already play a song. So they'll be able to choose from among all of these things. The other class worth mentioning is called the Herstory of Music, which is really exploring women in music in the 20th century. Trying not to go too far back, because I am old and the girls are young. And what is interesting to me is not always interesting to them. So we're kind of sticking with the latter part of the 20th century, but really looking at women in music and the experiences of women in music throughout the 20th century.
I don't think it's a secret that women face specific challenges when they're trying to work in the music industry. They're often treated as women first and artists second. Is any part of what you're doing geared toward trying to lower those barriers?
I think ultimately, you know, yes, social change really happens incrementally. And Girls Rock definitely was born out of a desire for social change and a contribution to the social change movement, specifically for women in general, not just in the music industry. But yes, I mean, I think that you know, when lists are qualified with the best female drummer, it kind of makes me grit my teeth because a person's biological sex has nothing to do really with their contribution to the arts or their ability as a musician, and it would be fantastic to see lists like that that are qualified by biological sex, and not only that, that include sort of the vast variety of gender expression and gender identity and biological sex that's out there. I mean, there are women that I've seen on some of these, you know, best of lists that certainly deserve to be on the same list as their male counterparts, but they're not included because there's a separate list for women, and we know separate is not necessarily equal, so I'll climb down from the soapbox there.
You're listening to OMG DSM. I'm K.O. Myers. Ray Faring is camp director of Girls Rock Des Moines, a two-week day camp that teaches girls how to write, play, and perform rock music. She's also a musician herself. She records and performs as Ray and the Honeybees and with the all-girl cover band Cover Girls. So you're running two camps this year. Can you tell us where and when?
The first session will be June 16th through the 27th at Hubble Elementary School, which is on 42nd Street and 235 right there. And camp hours are from 9 to 4, and at our Hubble camp, we'll be able to provide early drop-off and late pickup. We call it green room time. So for parents and guardians who need to get to work by 8 and camp doesn't start till 9, we have some room to accommodate that. Our second session will be July 7th through the 18th at Callanan Middle School, just down the road on 31st and 235. And that camp is also 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., but there's no early drop-off or late pickup at that location. So that green room time is only available at the first session. And girls are able to either come to one or both.
Is there still time to register?
Yes, there is definitely still time to register. I encourage people to sign up soon. We also do have scholarships available. The camp is designed to have 40 campers, and 20 of those spots per session are reserved solely for scholarship recipients. And so we have, through the great sponsorship and support of the Des Moines Music Coalition last year, we received funds to provide scholarships to those campers, and we have scholarship money available also this year. All of that information is on the website. When you go into girlsrockdsm.com, it's right there on the front page. You can download the registration form and the scholarship form. And the scholarship is need-based only, so we just ask folks to share as much or as little about why it is they need a scholarship or why they want their camper to attend Girls Rock, and then we make it happen.
So for folks who'd like to support your work, your camps are staffed entirely by volunteers, right?
Yes. We are, again, through the generous support of the Des Moines Music Coalition, we are able to provide a nominal honorarium for our volunteers who work at the camp, but it is an unpaid position, so it really does rely on really the passion and commitment of the adult women who take their time and energy and come and help us out.
Do you only take volunteers with a background in music?
No. In fact, we have a woman that I've worked with in the past, a great graphic designer, who has no music experience at all other than probably an appreciator of music, as far as I know, who volunteered last year to do our music art class, where girls, they get to sort of learn how to design posters and CD covers and all that kind of stuff. And she's volunteering again this year, no music background. The How to Rock an Interview, you don't need to have, you know, music experience to do that. Maybe a background in media or, you know, as a reporter or public speaking, anything like that would be fantastic. We also encourage folks to volunteer in other ways. We have to do snack every day in the afternoon for the campers. So folks can sponsor a day or a week of snacks. They can come in and help us get that ready. Also check in and check out at the start and at the end of the day as well. So, and then we have roadies, that volunteer position, which is really sort of the catch-all. And those individuals help us move instruments from room to room, because when we're having a class in one room and then in the next hour we're going to have a full band set up in there, we need help moving stuff around. So there are lots of ways that people can volunteer who don't necessarily have music experience but have an interest in just participating in a great program and providing a great experience for the campers.
And what about financially? Do you accept donations to cover the cost?
Yes, we are fully funded by individual donors and sponsorships. So we are always grateful and thankful for donations of any amount. Last year we did a Kickstarter and reached our goal through the generous support of folks in the community and quite honestly around the world. I think this year we had a couple of donors from Australia, one from Germany. I love social networking. It's great and it sucks and it's great at the same time, but we were able this year to raise over $5,000 to support the cost of the camp this year. So, and we're still, we're always taking donations because quite honestly, the vision for Girls Rock is to move beyond just a day camp. A lot of the feedback that we got last year from both parents and campers was that they wanted more. They want an overnight camp. They want after school programming. Many of the Girls Rock programs around the country also expand and do Little Girls Rock. So girls ages 6 to 9, which would be the most adorable thing in the world to see a little tiny 6-year-old with the bass. And then also ladies rock camps, which tend to be fundraisers for the youth programming. But those are always that Girls Rock Des Moines will expand, and that will only happen through community support as well as grant writing. But I'm a firm believer that when you get the community to support what it is that you're doing, that really ensures the sustainability of your program. So
if you're going to do an overnight camp, you might have to start a class on how to handle yourself at the after party.
Well, we're going to kind of stay away from the sex, drugs, and rock and roll aspects of music for girls that young. But yeah, well, we're definitely scoping out potential community partners to help make that happen. And ideally, I'd love to be able to pilot the overnight camp next year. So growing sort of surely but steadily and incrementally each year.
Right. And what kind of support have you gotten from the community in general?
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. I have an advisory committee. Because we're not yet a 501c3 nonprofit, we're a program, we do have a fiscal agent and we operate under that 501c3 nonprofit umbrella, and it's Chrysalis Foundation, which is an amazing foundation that funds programs for women and girls, so it makes sense. We have the great support of Chrysalis Foundation. The advisory committee that I have, the members of that committee also provide amazing support based on their position in the community. For example, Mike D, the owner of Reagan, he sits on our advisory committee and just has offered great support through the t-shirts, through Girls Rock t-shirts. We're able to sell those as a fundraiser. And not only that, last year and again this year, the girls get to take a field trip down to Reagan. Once they design their band logo, they'll go down to Reagan and he'll screen print their band logo on the back of their t-shirt free of charge. Just really great support. Guitar Center, as I said, locally, Tommy Doggett, who's the manager there, is also on our advisory committee, and they provide our instruments free of charge. They loan us whatever it is we need, from mics to PA systems to drum kits to, you name it. And they really are the primary reason that we're able to even have instruments for the girls, the only reason. Lots of other folks from around the community. The former owners of the Business Metropolitan Properties, they've continued to be major sponsors of Girls Rock. Sonic Factory Studios, last year Tony Bonenkamp was on our advisory committee, and this year they're still a great supporter and partner. The girls, after they write their original song with their bandmates, we take them to Sonic Factory, and they get to go to Sonic Factory and actually record their songs, and we get to we make CDs and we sell the CDs, and so by the end of camp they're recording artists, which is I think an exciting prospect for some of them. So so we have lots of support from across the community. Palmer's Deli and Catering, they catered our lunches last year and we'll do it again this year, and we're just a great support in making that happen. Ritual Cafe, they sponsored Snack a couple times, and one of the owners of Ritual Cafe is also on our advisory committee. We've had so much great support from different sectors of the community, different representatives of businesses, and then the individuals. I mean, the Kickstarter that we did this year was absolutely incredible. There were so many people, not only locally, but really across the country through, shared networks of individuals that really helped ensure that camp could happen again. So.
I'm really excited to see where you take it. You'll find a link to information about Girls Rock Des Moines and how you can attend or support their summer camps on our website at suburbanpanic.com/omgdsm. Ray Farring, camp director with Girls Rock Des Moines, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This has been OMGDSM, the podcast, for the week of June 6, 2014. OMGDSM is produced and distributed by Suburban Panic Media in Des Moines, Iowa. For more information or to get involved with the show, visit us online at suburbanpanic.com/omgdsm. If you'd like to suggest a show topic, a person we should interview, or tell us why you think Des Moines rocks the hardest, you can email omgdsm@suburbanpanic.com or share your ideas on social media with the hashtag omgdsm. Thanks to Brother Trucker for providing our theme music. You can find them online at brotrucker.com. We're going to end the show today with a song from another Maximum Ames artist. This is Gloom Balloon with She Was the One That Got Away. Thanks to you for listening. For OMGDSM, I'm K.O. Myers.
Relationships never get a chance to grow. Oh, like a messenger, professional crook. I made a list of the things. Selling you pizza. One, your heart. Two, your library books away. Your first.